fewer shutdowns, shorter in duration. That is the word from PG&E late last week when it comes to the public safety power shutoffs. And we want to find out about the likelihood of that being the truth for us in 2020. On the lifeline with us is current law professor at Santa Clara University, also former commissioner at the California Public Utilities Commission, Catherine Sandoval is here. Catherine, very happy you're here with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
And of course, last night, from Sunday, very early morning through last night, we had some horrific wind activity here in the North Bay. And our go-to thing is, the wind is blowing. Is the power going to go off? And of course, PG&E didn't plan any power outages. It is February after all. But we're very curious about what we can expect this summer and fall.
Right. And also, as yesterday showed, there were a number of trees and lines that came down. And so there's definitely dangers throughout the year, which need to be monitored and also planned for in the daily operation of the electric system.
Yeah, and we expect that, you know, when there's a big wind event and we expect some power lines to be affected in one way or another and the power to then go out, which it did to a much lesser extent yesterday. Has PG&E presented an amended plan to the CPUC for this year?
Yes, they have. And in reading the plan, which is 483 pages long.
Oh, boy.
Part of what's disappointing is that although PG&E says that it hopes to have fewer and shorter power shutoffs, it doesn't commit to doing everything possible to avoid them. So it recognizes that power shutoffs should be a last resort, and describe some of their other programs that they're engaging in, but I think could be doing more to avoid power shutoffs.
And more like what?
So, for example, in reading through this report, there's little discussion about the issue of the age of the hardware and infrastructure. So there's a section where they talk about that they are committed to proactive life, and they use a terminology called run to condition. So even though they're saying that they're going to do proactive replacement for certain types of things, among the things that are included in the run to condition are pole hardware, but yet pole hardware such as C-hooks and jumper cables were involved in both the Camp Fire and in the Kincade Fire.
Yeah.
So I'm still concerned that PG&E is not really learning the lessons from the fires that have happened in the past few years and then operationalizing that to proactively avoid fires because of condition failure, including age of some of these assets.
Isn't that all supposed to be spelled out and planned for and paid for before PG&E gets out of bankruptcy scheduled for the end of June?
So when you say spelled out, one of the things that that usually happens is that PG&E is responsible for operating the system. The CPUC, the California Public Utilities Commission, is responsible for regulating. So the CPUC legally doesn't have to tell PG&E, replace this on this during this lifetime or this number of years. The standard is operate in a manner which is safe and which promotes safe, reliable service. And then in the general rate case, they will ask and actually get money for plans to do certain things. And then there are also other things that are being looked at, such as the investigation into the Wine Country fires and the Camp Fire, and what will be required as a remedy if indeed it's found and PG&E has not fully conceded that it caused those fires. So there are things where the PUC will tell them do certain things, but it is up to the utility to operate safely and reliably. And so so my concern here is that there still isn't a look at the age of the infrastructure, particularly certain things that were linked to fires. And then my second concern is that I think that they're still not looking fully enough at the interrelationship of factors. So you mentioned it at the outset, wind, right? So
yeah.
That interrelationship between wind and high fire risk areas. And we saw in October some fires, like in Lafayette, in areas that were not classified as high fire risk, but were high wind zones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think that they need to be looking at intersections and layers of risk, such as a high wind zone in a place where they still have uninsulated lines, a high wind zone in a place where they still have very aging infrastructure.
Yeah.
And throughout this, I don't really see any discussion at all of population factors.
As in?
So population factors that they should be taking account would be things like concentrations of people with medical baseline and
yeah.
who basically are using electricity for breathing equipment or for other life-saving equipment. So that shows a high vulnerability. So what are they doing to do outreach to the populations and not just inform them, oh, prepare for your public safety power shutoff, get some flashlights and maybe a headlamp. But you know, looking at things like, should we actually, well, what can you do to prioritize the sectionalization of that neighborhood so you don't have to cut it off? And as well, what can we be doing to give people batteries so that they could also be helped out during these shutoffs? And then there's other population factors, like looking at concentrations of areas where a lot of people have diabetes because their medication needs to be refrigerated. And so loss of power is a huge risk and also a big burden and a big medical cost.
Well, part of the thing that I'm getting from you, Catherine, when you talk about the CPUC is that at least a big part of their job is to say to PG&E and other power companies, do the right thing. And shouldn't this commission have more teeth than that when it comes to specific requirements for any company operating, power company operating in California, especially one that's trying to get out of bankruptcy? More teeth?
Oh, absolutely. So they're going to have a couple of workshops at the end of this month to discuss these proposals for the wildfire safety plans. And I think that the PUC should ask a lot of questions, and they have the ability to also ask for changes to be made to these plans. So I think they should be saying, identifying both where these plans need to be strengthened and ordering the strengthening of those plans, not just approving this. And then in addition, they need more enforcement. Sorry. So they need more vigorous enforcement of the rules and faster enforcement. And there's a variety of types of infractions that happen that need enforcement.
Yeah. And right now, because it is February and another fire season fast approaching for California. And so it does not make us more confident going into this thing, Catherine, to know that that the oversight isn't quite where it should be.
Well, the CPUC also does need more personnel for enforcement. And so this is one role of the legislature and the governor's office and finance is to authorize the personnel to do enforcement. Because under the current system, really, again, it is the utility who is at the front line of inspection. And then the utility also does the reporting to the CPUC on conditions and things that it finds. But for example, there are issues like in California, you may have seen like how many things are on a utility pole. There are a lot of poles that have so many pieces of equipment hanging on them. They look like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they are jointly owned and support both communications equipment as well as electrical equipment. And so PG&E has taken the position in this proceeding and another one where the PUC ordered PG&E to create an app to let people send in photos that then could be connected to a database that then could be analyzed to see, hey, is there a problem? And then that could be connected to work.
That's a lot of steps, Catherine, a lot of steps. Listen, I have to wrap this up. I'm running up against the clock. Apologize, because this is a fascinating conversation. Is there any reason to believe PG&E will not get out of bankruptcy by the end of June?
Well, I think that they're doing everything that they can to try. So there's certainly a lot of talk about other governance models. But while we're talking about governance models, in the meantime, we got to keep our eyes on public safety. And that's got to be the number one, is to make sure that whoever is going to run the system in the long term, that it is being planned and run in a way that is going to be safe and that keeps the power on for us in a reliable and safe manner.
Amen to that. Catherine, thank you very much for the conversation. I look forward to our next one.